Will you join me in prayer? Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable to you this day, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I love Christmas time. I always have. In fact, I am utterly obnoxious about it. I love the songs. I love the smells. I love the food and the songs and the sights and the lights. I love my little nativity scene that I've had as long as I can remember. They all kind of look like they're from Norway. The baby Jesus looks like a fat little cherub that's been plucked out of the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel. Mary, with her strawberry blonde hair and fair complexion, looks like she could be a member of the band ABBA. And Joseph looks just a little bit like Kenny Loggins. But I love them all, nevertheless. All I have left of this original set is the Holy Family and two sheep. And the reason for that is that my parents thought it would be a great idea to put this very fragile porcelain nativity scene on their coffee table right around the time that little Kristen was learning how to walk. So between the ages of 2 and 5, I took out a shepherd, a cow, a donkey, 3 wise men, a very grumpy-looking camel, and an angel. In fact, I distinctly remember the smell of the super glue as my dad furtively tried to reattach the decapitated head of the shepherd to no avail. In fact, I've gotten quite the reputation in my family around Christmas time for breaking decorations. I've broken the same commemorative ornament from a small town in Texas from their annual Christmas festival. I did that 4 years in a row. And every year, my aunt would send us a new one that I would then break the following year. There's a Mardi Gras court jester ornament that still hangs on my parents' Christmas tree. They got it when they were in New Orleans before they had kids. And one year at Christmas time, I pulled it out of the box, and as I did so, the very thin ribbon that was attached to it broke, and the jester went flying and hit the ground and broke into pieces. Having just shattered the previously mentioned commemorative ornament for probably the 3rd year in a row, my nerves were a bit frayed, and so I broke into tears. And my parents tried to reassure me that it wasn't a big deal, that it wasn't that sentimental, and that everything was going to be fine. But later that night, I worked furiously to try to glue it back together. It's not the same as it was before. It's missing an eye because I couldn't find that piece in the rubble. There are visible cracks and chips and globs of glue. Some of the pieces don't line up exactly the way that they used to, but it's still there. It is still hanging on their tree. It's still beautiful, still unique, and still a reminder of that night so many years ago. Christmas may be my favorite season, but it's also the season when I break things. And Christmas may also be my favorite season, but it is also the season when the chips and the cracks and the dings and the breaks hurt just a little bit more. Christmas isn't what it was when I was a child. We're missing people now in my family, both in life and in loss of relationships. We're missing homes and jobs and dreams and plans and hopes in ways that we never imagined we would. And every Christmas, we feel that loss afresh as we remember what was, or we grieve what we had hoped would be but is now no more. And it's hard. It's especially hard to feel the breaks and the pains when the world is running around throwing glitter and tinsel and peppermints and twinkly lights into every foreseeable nook and cranny. It's hard to weep when there are angels everywhere in their gilded halos with their trumpets blaring and blazing. And it's hard to feel broken when the world around us seems so darn perfect, when it's supposed to be the most wonderful time of the year. And the losses feel all the more searing when we're on social media and we see all these happy and whole families who seem to have everything together. Christmas can often feel like a real-life Hallmark movie, except where everyone else's loose ends get tied up, yours do not. But there's some good news in all of this, though. It's not glamorous or sparkly. It's not heralded by trumpets or perfectly shiny angels or a chorus line of elves. The true beauty of Christmas, the essence of the real deal behind the festivities and the Hallmark movies, is that God did not come down to dwell with humanity under optimal conditions. Jesus showed up during an incredibly chaotic and stressful census taken at the hands of the Roman government, under which the Jewish people were subjects. Rome was making things hard on the people of Israel, and while at the moment they were still free to practice their religion, life was not a skip through the promised land as it once was. Mary and Joseph likely weren't even married yet, or if they were, can you imagine what kind of honeymoon this must have felt like? Mary gave birth in the last available spot, and soon after, the whole family had to flee to Egypt because Herod decided that the infant Jesus must be found and then killed. The nativity story does not end with an unexpected and magical snowfall, or the entire city processing to the cow stall to sing Dahu Dores in a circle around the town Christmas tree. It doesn't end with a big party to celebrate Christ's coming, or even the most perfect family photo. The Christmas story ends with light being brought into the world, and the world largely not noticing it. Just some shepherds, some ambivalent sheep, and maybe a reluctant drummer boy. No trumpets, no glitter, no jingle bells, or here we come a caroling. But in spite of all of this, God still came. The light broke into the darkness, and while many did not notice it, God still showed up. God could have said, no, this wasn't exciting enough. I think I'll come back when everyone is more prepared and when people are actually paying attention. But he didn't. Because to those who did notice, something changed. The world started to look a little different. Born in this child was a long-awaited hope. A hope that God had indeed remembered the broken and chipped and battered people of Israel. Hope that God was truly coming to dwell with God's people. So this Christmas, this longest night, Christ still comes to pierce the darkness. Many will not notice, but he is still coming. He's not going to wait until we have it all perfect and ready. He's not going to wait for our families to be whole or for our lives to be put together or for our homes to be immaculate and well appointed for the season. He's coming. And he's coming now because we need him now in the midst of our broken pieces. Christ is coming to us in our grief, in our loss, in our sadness, in our anxiety, our depression, our marital strife, our infertility, our anger. Not with an empty promise of fixing everything with the wave of a hand, but with the promise of abiding hope. Hope that he will never leave us. Hope that sits with us and enfolds us and reminds us that we are so deeply loved because we are children of God. It's a hope that glues us back together over time, maybe with some visible cracks and holes and maybe a missing eyeball and globs of glue everywhere, but nevertheless, it glues us back together. The Christmas season is coming. Christ is coming to dwell among us again, and you don't have to brightside your life circumstances or somehow make yourself more presentable in order for him to show up. So put down your glue sticks. It's okay if you're feeling a bit cracked or chipped or frayed, and allow the God of peace to settle in beside you. Make some space for hope to hang out with you for a few days, and you don't have to believe it. It's not like Santa. It can handle your doubts. Just let it inhabit the space around you. And over time, may you come to feel the warm presence of the God who loves you beyond all imagining. And I close with this excerpt of Jan Richardson's from a piece she wrote about hope. So may we know the hope that is not just for someday, but for this day. Here, now in this moment that opens to us, hope not made of wishes, but of substance. Hope made of sinew and muscle and bone. Hope that has breath and a beating heart. Hope that will not keep quiet or be polite. Hope that knows how to holler when it is called for. Hope that knows how to sing when there seems to be little cause. Hope that raises us from the dead, not someday, but this day, every day, again and again. And again. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.